Well, we'll end the Lord's table here, but we'd like to begin some time of fellowship from a variety of angles and from a variety of saints. And I'll be starting us off with the matter of the Spirit of the Gospel. Can we say that together? The Spirit of the Gospel. And I'm not sure, but it may be that this particular matter is the central thread through all the speaking this morning. Okay? And I'd just like to make note, there are some translation frequencies. Spanish is 88.1, Chinese 100.1, and Korean 107.1. Of course, those are all in English, but hope you got that. Spanish 88.1, Chinese 100.1, Korean 107.1. So I'd just like to start actually with a verse. An awesome verse, but an interesting verse, and that is Luke 12:50. And this is a record of the Lord speaking actually several years after he had been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Okay? So after he had been baptized in water, years later he said this, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am pressed until it is accomplished." So of what baptism was the Lord speaking? A baptism that he spoke of that he was pressed or constrained until it was accomplished. Actually, through the incarnation, God put on the human flesh.
Amen.
So in the Lord Jesus' living, he was there as a God-man, we can say with a shell of humanity. And within this shell was the glory of his divinity.
Amen.
And so towards the end of his life on earth, in fact, he was pressed and constrained that this glorious divinity could be released.
Amen.
And so the baptism with which he spoke of was actually the baptism of a physical death on the cross. Hallelujah, this was accomplished.
Amen.
Not only for redemption, but for life release.
Amen.
This really happened.
Amen.
Praise him for his life-releasing death.
Amen.
And if we step back just one verse, verse 49, Luke 12:49, we see that actually this release of the divine glory and the impartation and resurrection was in fact to cast fire on the earth.
Amen.
We see this because the Lord spoke, "I have come to cast fire on the earth." And oh, how I wish that it were already kindled.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
This fire of the divine life is actually the impulse of the spiritual life.
Amen.
So this fire was cast in resurrection upon a group there in Jerusalem, containing some Galilean fishermen, a motley crew of Jesus seekers. Fire was cast.
Amen.
And the fire burned in Jerusalem.
Amen.
It burned in Judea.
Amen.
It burned in Samaria.
Amen.
It burned to the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
Today the fire burns in China.
Amen.
It burns in South America.
Amen.
It burns on the continent of Africa.
Amen.
In a country like Ethiopia.
Amen.
We hope to hear a little more this morning about this. Certainly it's burning in Germany.
Amen.
And saints, it's burning in the United States.
Amen.
And it's burning in Los Angeles.
Amen.
So our burning burden this morning, is that as the church is gathered together this morning, we would be a church that is burning not with natural enthusiasm. There's no place for that. Not with natural zeal, but with the divine flame.
Amen.
Amen. This is our burden this morning. Not only that, but this burning would spread out from the church. So to make this connection very clear, the Spirit of the Gospel is one and the same with this divine fire. And personally and individually, we have to say that every saved believer has at least a flicker in their spirit of this fire. By virtue of their regeneration, their spirit is burning with some fire. But just like a physical fire can be quenched and kept down, or it can be fanned and ignited, this spirit of the gospel needs to be cultivated.
Amen.
And saints, pay attention to this.
Amen.
While there is a burning in every saved believer, particularly this fire burns in someone who loves the Lord Amen. With a first love and presents themselves simply but genuinely as an offering to Him. Amen. Saints, in such a person, the fire really burns. And in such a person, the spirit of the gospel is very strong. Amen. And so we should be ones who pray personally, Lord, how about we pray this? Lord, I love you. Lord, I give you my whole life.
Lord, I give you my whole life.
Lord, even today I offer myself afresh to you.
Lord, even today I offer myself
afresh to you. Amen, saints. This is not something we gave the Lord ourselves 2 years ago. We need to be fresh with the Lord.
Amen.
And actually, a young working brother from the West Side would like to give a testimony now. He has an experience of being turned back to the Lord, of being revived and of everything that ensued, and I believe a group with him will stand and speak something. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. My name is David.
And I'm Zach.
And I'm Alex.
I graduated at UCLA in 2013, and at that time I had the opportunity to open a restaurant near UCLA with a classmate from school. I was very excited to do something for myself, but I thought it was going to be a quick success. Well, fast forward 2 years to 2015, in about a four-month period, my business partner ended up leaving the company. My general manager walked out the week of my sister's wedding. The company basically went bankrupt, and my apartment was robbed. I very much thank the Lord that through all these experiences, the Lord was able to show me that I can't do anything without Him.
Amen.
And this caused me to kneel down and consecrate my whole life to Him on August 16th of that year. Since then, I've had a very strong burden that the Lord would have a testimony in and through the business, and I continued persevering in prayer with other brothers for 2 years for this burden, but without much outward result. But I believe that through perseverance, the Lord was able to bring in the blessing.
Amen. So I've been working at this restaurant, Koala Tea, for a little over a year now, and it's been very enjoyable. And I had a friend who was also a believer that I knew back in Texas when I lived there. His name is Tanner. And now he's actually living out here. He actually moved out here before I did. But I had some burden for this one, just that he would be brought into the church life. And the Lord worked it out that he was able to get a job at Koala Tea. And David was able to share some truth from the Bible with him. And then later on, Tanner actually told David that he said that he felt the lights were brighter and that he was more excited to come into work after David had shared something with him. And so then anyways, David had felt led to start doing some Bible studies at Quality. And so usually on Mondays, we get together and coordinate for that. And actually, at the very first Bible study, Alex here was saved. So praise the Lord for that. And then Tanner was also able to meet with us in a very regular way. And through that, many others were able to come in as well.
Right here. It's been about 5 months since I first went to my first table meeting. It was actually right here when Brother Manure was praising the Lord, and he was yelling, "What's your name?" "My name is Grace."
Amen.
I remember listening to the hymns, and I didn't want to admit it at the time, but I was actually tearing up, and then a fire just rose in me. You know, it started. It happened so spontaneously and organically. Before my salvation, I only worked out and eat. Now I pretty much do the same thing, but now when I work with the brothers. When I work out with the brothers. And when I eat Christ.
Amen.
We need to offer ourselves in Christ to God as a continued burnt offering to be burned by Him so that we may burn others. There are people in the store who I pray for that the fire would burn in them. Recently, David and I started fellowshipping with a coworker, Rigo, in Spanish. And my Spanish is terrible. There are curious co-workers that even bless me when I go to meetings. And in the last year, 7 co-workers, including myself, have come to at least one meeting. Hallelujah. God is our fire and God is our grace.
Amen.
And the church says, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you catch that secret from Alex? When you go to work or when you work with the brothers. When you work out, be with the brothers.
Amen.
When you eat Christ.
Amen.
Filling our entire life. Amen. Well, we just pray for this particular group and the fire burning there, and may the fire burn in all the workplaces.
Amen.
Amen. So each of us does individually bear a responsibility to come before the Lord in love and offer ourselves, but I just like to highlight that actually the proper situation should be that we, and this is a spiritual principle, that we should burn one another.
Amen.
You know, when someone gets a little hot and they get around and coordinated with others, we should be like hot coals who burn one another.
Amen.
And there's a group of hot coals that's burning at Venice High School.
Yes.
And I just want to tell this testimony. There's seven of our young ones are there on this campus. And when the five saints who were seniors now were freshmen, I believe at least one of them, this burden rose up in her, and she gathered the others after school one day, and I was told they prayed for 10 minutes. Hallelujah, 10 minutes.
Amen.
It's a long time for the high schoolers. They gathered together after school and they filled out a club constitution. This is required to have a club. They wanted to have a Bible club. They had to find a sponsor to open the room every week, and they did that. And I was told the following summer, after their freshman year, this time they gathered at one of their homes, and they prayed for a much longer time. The sister said it was very sweet, very strong, praying for the next year and what the Lord would do. And the first thing they thought they should do is have a table at the club expo, but their table was taken, so they couldn't have it the first time. But they didn't give up. At the next club fair, they had that table, and they got a good number of names. Of course, they gave a free bag of chips to anyone who gave them their name. I don't know if this is being wise as serpents. But they were persevering.
Amen.
And they set some flyers up in the hallways, and two people came because of that.
Amen.
Then later, two of the friends of two of the brothers came and joined them and continue to meet with them. And most recently, they took out an ad in the school newspaper, paid for that ad that comes out once a month that reads, Venice Bible Club, Mondays at lunch, room 54. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, when we get around one another, no matter what our age is, this is sweet, this is simple, but they're there burning one another.
Amen.
What we speak about as the spirit of the gospel needs to become a spirit, not only in us individually, but a spirit of the gospel in the church.
Amen.
And I just like to read a wonderful quote. When we do not preach the gospel, our spirit becomes deadened. In the same way, when the church does not preach the gospel, the church becomes deadened. However, when a Christian rises up to preach the gospel, his spirit becomes burning.
Amen.
And when the church preaches the gospel, the church becomes burning.
Amen.
The church becomes burning.
Amen.
We're here going on together.
Amen.
This is not the age of a few strong ones sent out. This is the age of the church going on together.
Amen.
And so maybe I can just conclude here and pass the microphone to Ben. I'd just like to say that as this fire burns, saints, it will burn away all the negative things.
Amen.
You know, like that hymn says, burn, burn, O love, within my heart, burn fiercely night and day, till all the dross of earthly loves is burned and burned away. Saints, in our hearts, our heart of hearts, we love a lot of things, but the fire will burn that away.
Amen.
The fire will also heat us up out of any coldness and lukewarmness. Don't stand with the coldness, the lukewarmness. The fire will heat you up.
Amen.
And the fire in the church will become a strong testimony.
Amen.
And a strong enlightening.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
May this fire burn.
Amen.
may this fire burn.
Amen.
Well, I hope you're encouraged, saints. May the Lord really gain all of us.
Amen.
To present ourselves and offer ourselves to Him, to really ignite us.
Amen.
To have this fire within us, the spirit of the gospel running in Los Angeles. But I don't know what you think about when you hear these phrases, the spirit of the gospel fanning our spirits into flame, hot coals coming together. Our thought may be something loud, something big, microphones on street corners shouting out the gospel. And although that's one way to get the gospel out, the pattern we see of the first gospel preacher in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, His pattern looks a little different than that. And so this morning, I would like to share with you two stories that show the pattern of the Lord, the pattern of one who is burning, the pattern of one who had the spirit of the gospel and the way that he carried it out. And the first story is the story of two seeking people. And this is the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 18. Now, the Bible says that Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus. But because there were crowds all around him, and because Zacchaeus was small in stature, he couldn't see him. And so he ran up ahead and climbed a tree so that when Jesus came by, he could see him. But when Jesus came by, Jesus himself looked up. And he said, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay in your house."
Amen.
You see, the way the Lord took was to contact an individual and shepherd them by visiting them.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, there are many saints who have been among us throughout the years who are not among us anymore. For all kinds of different reasons. Some maybe sat to your left or to your right just a year ago or 2 years ago, but for some reason, they're not there. And if the saints are not individually, personally, regularly contacting the Lord, then sometimes their only touch of the Lord is your visitation. You're coming to them to bring Christ as salvation to them. And so although the Lord said in this story, "Zacchaeus, today I must stay in your house," a few verses later he says, "Today salvation has come to this house."
Amen.
Meaning his coming, his visitation was salvation coming.
Amen.
He himself was salvation visiting this person. And then he goes on to say after this, "Salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham."
Amen.
Saints, no matter how sinful or, quote, backslidden or hurt or sad or cold any saints among us maybe have become, we have to know and remember that they are a son of Abraham.
Amen.
A chosen heir.
Amen.
Of God's promised inheritance.
Amen.
We love them. We consider them. We care for them.
Amen.
And in matching the Lord's heart, we visit them.
Amen.
To bring the Lord as salvation to them.
Amen.
For some, maybe they're not around for those reasons, but sometimes even the saints get sick and need a visit, a warm visit, or maybe just a warm meal. For others, it's not for this reason, but others need a companion. Others need someone to pursue the Lord with, to read the Bible with, and to help to understand the Bible more with. We all need someone. You know, in the church in Los Angeles, there should be a lot of visiting, a lot of contacting one another and caring and thinking about one another. May we join the Lord in His heart to really care for one another in this way. And so, for a moment, we're going to have two testimonies. Our sister Vicky will share a testimony concerning visitation, and then two brothers will share a testimony concerning coming together to shepherd one another, to read the Bible together, and to care for each other. So Sister Vicky first, and then the two brothers.
Amen. So saints, is this on? Yes, I want to testify concerning the benefit of visitation, like Ben was mentioning. And first, I'll just say I, over the years in the church life, have been the recipient of this kind of care and visitation, and it's has been a pattern to me. And so recently, my husband and I had a chance to visit some saints who were in the hospital with their small child who was diagnosed with a very serious illness. And I was reminded, thinking about this testimony, of Romans 12, which is a chapter on practicing the body life. And the verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." And this doesn't happen in the meetings. I think we just went and really brought some food and just sat with them. We just were there with them. So I think maybe a hospital visitation might sound intimidating, but actually you don't need to go and say anything or you know, try to cheer them up. It's just to go and be with them and enter in with them to however they're feeling. And it was just the basis of a lot of sweet fellowship and eventually a little bit of prayer, and just to know that we're not alone. We're really members one of another. This kind of visitation has a lot of benefit. Amen.
Hello, saints. My name is Paul Herman, and I am a working brother.
My name is Al, and I'm a freshman at COC.
In late June, a brother had called me and given me the number of Al, and so I gave him a call, and we have a student meeting at our home on Fridays, and so I invited Al to the meeting. So Al came with his mother, his mother, his little sister, and his little brother. So he enjoyed the meeting, and so at that point, we set up a time to meet, and we met at Starbucks. I figured that was a non-threatening place to meet with him. For a young person to meet with an old man. So we met there, and I realized there was really a fire burning in Al. And I realized he had a real hunger for the Word. So we set up a time, and we began to meet. And so we have met probably on an average 2 to 3 times a week, some weeks more, over these months. And, you know, our sister talked about being shepherded. You know, I feel the same. I feel Al has shepherded me. Really hard to know who's getting the shepherding, but amen.
Yeah, the first home meeting, when I got there, I thought these people are crazy. They're wackos. But after the first meeting, the Lord did his work. There was a consuming fire in my heart. Reading the Bible sometimes hours a day, just trying to get this hunger out. And my brother Paul consistently calling me and texting me for fellowship, we were able to get into the Word, and he was able to explain to me certain scripture, which just allowed me to eventually have the inward realization that I need to become baptized. And through this baptize, 65 people were brought together, and 12 of my family members came. So, and all had a realization that Christ is the true living God. And a really cool testimony to my family is that my mom and her sister, they had a really tough relationship. They hated each other practically. And before the Lord, that's how the relationship was. But after the Lord, now my aunt calls my mom twice a week to ask questions about the Lord, to want to pursue the Lord. So it's awesome to see that the Lord can bring anyone together, no matter what the past pain has been. It's amazing that he's the greatest God of all time. only God, and we need to praise him forever. Amen.
So I want to say Al was saved
about 4 months ago.
Yeah. And he was baptized 2 months ago. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wonderful. These patterns, these testimonies really help us to see what this looks like, you know, in real life situations. And going back to the story here of Zacchaeus, although it began with Zacchaeus seeking to see the Lord Jesus, at the end it also says that Jesus came to seek and save this one lost soul. So this is why I called it the story of two seeking people. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, and surely Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. He was seeking to save this one. And his coming was not by accident. His coming was very purposeful. He had a desire to meet this one. Similarly, he had a desire to come and meet the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. That's the second story I want to share with you all. And this is the story of two thirsty people. The first is two seeking people. The second is two thirsty people. And this story begins this way. As Jesus was passing through Galilee, verse 4 in chapter 4 says this, he had to pass through Samaria. He had to pass through Samaria. So he was on his way to Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. Why did he have to pass through Samaria? What compelled him to pass through Samaria? You know, historically, the Jews did not go to Samaria. Even if they had to, they'd go around it. They considered the people and the place utterly sinful and a despised place. So why did he have to go to Samaria? Well, surely this woman who he met was foreknown and predestinated by God the Father in eternity past. His heart was set on going out of his way to reach this one soul.
Amen.
This is how important she was.
Right.
And so he came. He came. Not because it was geographically the best way to go, but he came because he wanted to meet this one. Now, we might be comfortable visiting a saint, but what about a sinner? What about a sinner? The Bible gives us Zacchaeus' name, but the Bible does not mention this woman's name. No one knows the name of this woman from Samaria. She was a sinner. She was low. She was poor. She was immoral. The Bible doesn't even give us her name. We don't know. What it does tell us is that she had five husbands, and the person she was living with currently was not her husband. That's what the Bible tells us about her. She came at a certain time in the day, in the midday, when it was blazing heat, when she knew no one else would be there, because she knew no one cared for her. But someone knew. Someone knew. The Lord foreknew that she would come to the well at this time. And so the Lord met her there. You know what the Lord said? Give me something to drink. You know, she was thirsty. She certainly was, because she was not satisfied with her human life. But he was thirsty. He too was not satisfied. He was thirsty to save this one soul, and he was not satisfied until she would receive. You know, the well they came to was called Jacob's Well. This well represents Christ as the fountain of living water springing up into eternal life.
Amen.
And when she tasted from this well, when she took a drink, she threw her water pot, and she went and began to tell everyone of this wonderful person who gave her a drink.
Amen.
This wonderful person who told her all about herself. This wonderful person who satisfied her. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
This is the only one that can satisfy us.
Amen.
May we take this pattern of our Lord Jesus detouring out of our comfort zone, out of what's easy for us, out of our normal daily situations that we're set in to reach people with the gospel.
Amen.
I was very encouraged hearing a testimony from one of the sisters in Hall 1 Spanish, and I'd like to share it with you.
Amen.
This sister began going to a park in the morning to exercise. And as she was exercising, she met another woman there exercising. And she asked her, "Do you want to know about God?" And sometime later, she invited her over for breakfast at her house and began to tell her about the Lord. Well, sometime after that, this woman, this new friend, said, "I'd like to go to a meeting with you." So she came to the meeting where she heard about calling on the Lord. And after a few meetings, she decided, "I want to receive the Lord." She received the Lord, and she was baptized.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The living water was given to her. But the story doesn't end there. Now there's two sisters. These two sisters begin to exercise together at the park. And they find another woman, another new friend. And they tell her this. They said, "Listen, it's very good to exercise, but it's better to exercise your spirit by calling on the Lord."
Amen.
And she said, "How do I do this? I want to do this." She received the Lord.
Amen.
Now the three of them are walking together, calling on the Lord, enjoying the home meetings together. What a wonderful testimony and example.
Amen.
This is something we should all enter into. And I hope you see something here. This is not a big campaign. This is not big loudspeakers. Sometimes when we're doing our daily things, we're at the grocery store, we're at work, we feel that's not the time to, that's not God's time. This is my time to do work, or this is my time to do groceries. Actually, it's those times, many times, these normal times in our daily life where the Lord wants to gain us, and He wants to gain someone to our left or to our right.
Amen.
So we have to be one with the Lord,
Amen.
Always one with the Lord.
Amen.
In every situation we're in.
Amen.
Well, saints, I want to end with four practical applications. How can we enter into this? How can we begin to enter into the spirit of the gospel and this way of contacting others, shepherding others, considering others? And the first way you might find quite simple, and I'm sharing it because of that. We can first use our phones to visit people. Most of us have a phone, we can text, we can call, we can say, "How are you doing? How are you?" You know, it means a lot for someone to just, to know that someone was thinking about you.
That's right.
And ask, "How are you doing?"
That's right.
So we can use our phones in this way. Two, we can use the meetings to contact people. You know, many of us living in the city of Los Angeles, a busy city, there's so much to do, work and jobs and school. Many times when we get to the meeting, we're so tired and we just kind of want to receive, relax and receive. But actually, the meetings are an opportunity. And when we come to the meetings, we should be considering one another and looking for an opportunity to contact one another and minister Christ to one another.
Amen.
So this is the way we can use the meetings, a new way to view the meetings. To come, to contact people. So this is number two. Number three, we can go out to visit people and share the gospel. And this is like a lot of the testimonies you heard today. In the normal situations in our daily life, cling to the Lord, we're one with the Lord, and we're open to the Lord to go out, maybe even out of our comfort zone to visit someone, to speak to someone in our daily situations. And number four, we can give in the way of offerings to support and to be one with others who are going out to share the gospel. This may be on a campus or something like that. We can give in this way to join ourselves to those who are going out to share the gospel. And we'll hear a little bit more about this soon, something related to the campuses. But why don't we take the words that we've heard this morning and pray with our neighbor. Really pray that the Lord would bring the church in Los Angeles into this atmosphere of the spirit of the gospel. That we would have a new beginning among us in the church.
Amen.
And really take the way of the Lord's pattern by taking care and visiting people one by one to shepherd them, to contact them, and to minister the Lord as the river of living waters to all those around us.
Amen.
Let's pray with our neighbors for a minute.
Amen.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, at this time, there's a group of saints related to the campuses throughout Los Angeles. So maybe you all can come forward right now. And We want to testify about the fire on the campuses. Amen. Spreading through Los Angeles. So if you're going to share testimony, please come forward, and we'll go ahead and start.
Make sure to introduce yourself. Good morning, Saints. My name is Hannes DePloy. I've been serving for about 5 years, one and a half year in South Africa, and I've been serving here, especially at UCLA campus, for about 3.5 years now. And we would just like to share with you how the Lord has been giving us a new beginning, especially with our campus labor and among all three campuses of UCLA, CSUN, and USC. Since especially starting this beginning of this year, we just realized that just through different situations with the teams, shrinking, with different situations coming up, we just realized, Saints, we cannot go on the same way that we've gone on before. And through much prayer and fellowship and consideration, we just realized we need to take the way of blending. And, we started coming together. The teams at CSUN, USC, and UCLA, actually before this, we were really operating as three different teams with three works on three campuses. Sometimes we would get together, but really we were operating as three teams. But starting from this year, we just realized we need to go on in a new way. Amen. And the Lord is just leading us to take this way of blending and even laboring together, carrying out activities together, having our students come together. And, Saints, we all live in L.A., and we know what a crazy city this is and how busy it is. And, just the traffic, USC and UCLA, they're only 10 miles apart if you go on the highway. But sometimes it can take an hour, right, for them to get to us. But anyway, I must say, Saints, in the beginning of the, when started taking this way, of blending, I was really skeptical about this. To carry out, we carried out one summer internship or a summer program for our students all together from three different campuses to labor together, to spread the gospel, right, on the campus. Students from USC would come to UCLA and CSUN, and we would go to USC. But before this, I was quite skeptical about this. I said, Lord, this is, I just started getting used to coordinating with UCLA, right? And now we have CSUN coming. We have USC coming. And it adds quite a different culture, a different dynamic. And, just the logistics is too complicated. But one brother shared something that really helped me. He said, we're in an intermixed and complicated situation, just like the trellis and the at the top of the pillars in the temple. There's checkered work, but in the midst of that, there's a lily growing up, and this signifies a simple life of faith growing up into intermixed and complicated situation, and that really helped me. Just be simple. Take this way of blending. This is the Lord's way. And I can testify, Saints, the Lord has really blessed us. This has been I really enjoy this summer serving. I'd say this is by far my best summer serving. Amen. And it's really because I believe blessing us in this way of blending. Amen. And so we have David. We have a couple of sisters from UCLA. And we have Miles. We have sister from CSUN, right? Yeah, sister from CSUN and UCLA, and then we have Miles. David would like to share on this summer internship. The sisters will share something from our Freshman Connect. We actually had a freshman coming from every campus. And then Miles will share just his highlights from this taking this way of blending and laboring together. And we're one team in L.A. Amen. And praise the Lord, we're one locality, right? So anyways, praise the Lord.
So my name is David, and I'm a senior currently at USC. And this summer, I, alongside many college students from UCLA, CSUN, and USC, had the privilege to join in and participate in the first ever all-LA internship. And even some had the opportunity to go all the way to Georgia to serve and labor with the Saints there on the campus of UGA. So one of the burdens and one of the goals of the internship was that the students would be infused with this burden for the campuses other than their own campus. Right, coming in as a freshman to USC, my thought was, my job is to do the Lord's work on USC and USC only. This is why I got in, this is why I was placed here. But through our internship of laboring on each other's campuses, meeting with new ones who we may never ever see again, living a life of prayer, and really seeing even in Georgia how the students there, they were so desperate for the ones on our campus, even though they were just getting maybe a semester or two ago. It was awesome to see that the Lord has one heart for all of man. And even to see that even though there are three separate campuses in Los Angeles, the Lord has one work and one move in the city of Los Angeles. And I really appreciated John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Right? He doesn't just love my fellow Trojans at USC, but he loves all the students at UCLA and CSUN as well. And we need to have the same heart as our Lord. And in the character of the Lord's worker, Watchman Nee said, our heart must be broadened to the extent that we love everyone and are interested in every man. As long as someone is a man, we should be interested in him. Amen. And this includes everyone else on the other campuses. And this type of heart and the building and the blending that happened over the summer really ushered in a blessing into this new semester. Just a quick testimony of my friend Ryan. Ryan is someone I met last semester. My heart was very narrow towards him. He was a Muslim. He was very tied to the world. I said, what's the point of making friends with him? He's never going to receive the gospel. Never, no chance. But eventually, somehow, he got into my heart. And in this semester, I invited him to a college meeting. And he said, maybe not, I don't know. A few hours later, he said, okay, I can come for dinner, 7 to 8, and I'll have to leave then. I said, okay, just come for dinner. And he said, okay, you know what, I can stay until the message is done. I'll leave at 8:30. So he comes, stays, listens to the whole message. He ends up staying until 10:40. And that night he received the Lord Jesus. So we see even throughout all our laboring and the building and blending throughout all of the three campuses in Los Angeles this summer, we feel that the Lord is really pouring out his blessing in this new year.
Amen. So I was at the freshman fall retreat. I'm Esther and I'm a student at CSUN. So I was at the freshman fall retreat, and it was really, really enjoyable because we got to blend with all the campuses from UCLA, CSUN, and USC. And I was able to stay at the sister's house at USC, and it was a really nice time to blend with them. And I felt so cherished by the shepherding of the sisters there, and you really got to meet all the other students. And it was one point where we talked about was like the Good Samaritan. And the Christ as a Good Samaritan comes to us. And it doesn't matter who we are and like what we experienced, but he comes to us and he heals us. And he brings us to meet with the other saints who cherishes us. And I really enjoyed that. And also how no matter how different we are, how we are all from different campuses, but we can all come together and blend with and enjoy the Lord together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Joo-hee. I serve on campus at UCLA, and I also want to share from freshman fall retreat. Actually, same thing that Esther just shared, that we saw that the Lord is the Good Samaritan who binds up our wound, pour wines and oil, but he doesn't just leave us on the street, but he brings us into an inn. And this inn is actually the church, his body. And so I just enjoyed from this FFR that it didn't matter who we were, whether we were from USC, CSUN, UCLA, whether you were returning students, new students, or even staff like me, like serving ones, but we were all brought into the one body of Christ. And there's this one freshman from at UCLA that who came, she's actually here this morning. And she said she, in the beginning of the school year, she asked the Lord, Lord, I just can't do it. Bring me to someone, bring me to some people. And she testified that the Lord led her to this group that she is not part of. But I appreciate this group. It's not just Christian club on campus or a Christian club at UCLA, but actually this group is the body of Christ. She has been brought into the church. And in this church, there's so many shepherds. I just really appreciate even from that weekend. This new student was cared for and shepherded by so many other students from different campuses. Just the saints, older saints, younger saints. Just appreciate that our work on campus is not to bring someone into just club on campus, but it is to bring them into the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for one body.
Amen. Amen. I'm Miles, and although I live across the street from UCLA, I'm serving on all the campuses in LA.
Amen.
And actually, I'm not only serving full-time, but I'm blending full-time, and I'm enjoying the Lord full-time.
Amen.
And so since I started serving this past summer, I've been able to go up to CSUN to preach the gospel with the students and the full-timers there. I've joined a table meeting there for the first time, a prayer meeting. I've been able to go to Hall 3 to have dumpling night with them, which was wonderful. Even on the UCLA campus, we're tabling together with Hall 3, the Saints from Hall 3, and actually the Saints from USC have also been able to come and spend a lot of time on our campus, and there's been a lot of what I'd call cross shepherding going on, and even so much that one student I meet with regularly, I met with a USC undergrad, and there's another one who came to our freshman fall retreat, got super connected with a USC undergrad, and so now we're going to their Thursday night college meetings, which even though, like Hannah said, is 10 miles away, it takes about 50 minutes on a Thursday night to get there, but it's so enjoyable, and even the full-timers from USC have been joining us, that we've been having appointments with USC full-timers with UCLA students. And so I think this experience can be summed up with Acts 2:46, and continuing steadfastly in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. We're partaking of our food with simplicity and exaltation, and we're praising God,
Amen.
And the Lord is adding people.
Amen.
And we're not doing so many different things, but we're just coming together, we're enjoying the Lord, and the Lord is adding. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. May the Lord keep blending us together.
Amen.
Then may I see you at UCLA, and I hope to see all of you everywhere else.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. So a group of us brothers were able to go to Africa. Praise the Lord for the conference in Africa. There was a conference called ITERO, and at this conference, we saw something marvelous. It was in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. There was a lot of wonderful blending that took place. Saints from all over the earth were able to come to Ethiopia, and saints from all over Africa were able to really come to this conference. It was the most African saints I'd ever seen. It was really marvelous with all the blending that was able to take place. The title of the conference was Propagating the Resurrected, Ascended, and All-Inclusive Christ as the Development of the Kingdom of God. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So this word propagating is right in line with our topic today. Propagating is a very specific word. Propagating means reproducing.
Amen.
So we're reproducing Christ. We're not just going out teaching people about Christ, but we're actually reproducing Christ.
Amen.
Christ is being added. Right, many are being added to Christ. In Acts 11:24, we can see that many were added to the Lord. So how do we add people to the Lord? We need to enjoy Christ. And then Christ is dispensed as a seed, and Christ is actually, how do you say, he's reproduced in us.
Amen.
So this was really the burden of the conference, is that we would all propagate Christ as the resurrected, ascended, an all-inclusive Christ as the development of the kingdom of God.
So I enjoyed receiving the detailed care from the saints in Addis Ababa. You know, I arrived a few days early, and I had booked a hotel shuttle. And when I arrived there, I followed my hotel shuttle. We were in the parking lot. And then I saw some brothers who had a sign that said, Itero 2018. And so I told my shuttle, hold on a second. I think those might be my friends. And so I went to the brothers and I said, are you waiting for me? And they said, are you Justin? I said, yes. I said, are you waiting for anyone else? They said, no. And so I quickly told my shuttle, I'm going with my friends. You know, they were there to receive me, and what a shepherding that was after a full day of flying. And actually, they did this for all the saints who were traveling there. Many saints, you know, took 2 weeks off work just to serve during this conference. I was considering, if we had a conference here in Los Angeles, how many of us would take 2 weeks off work, right? And yet, from their point of view, they kept saying how joyful they were because we had gone to visit them. They were receiving this as a visitation. They realized that, you know, we had come great distances, we had severely detoured, and they felt so honored that we had gone to them. And they kept telling us this was the answer to many, many years of prayer. On my second day, I had some dinner with some local brothers, and two of them had just graduated from the two-year perfecting training in Addis Ababa. And when I heard that, there was something in me that was just so happy. And I realized it was because, you know, for many years, in the church prayer meeting here in LA, we've been praying for the training in Ethiopia. Amen. And so I realized, wow, Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we've been joining in this burden through our prayer. Amen. I also saw how other saints went out of their way to visit and shepherd the saints. There were many brothers who came from China, and on their way to Ethiopia, it's really not on the way, they went to Rwanda. Why? Because they had some contacts that were in Rwanda. As it happens, there are hundreds of Africans currently meeting in the local churches in China. This is because they go there to study and to work, and they're being gained for the Lord's testimony. Amen. They're meeting there in China as well as in Japan. And so the saints in Asia are burdened that these newly gained African saints could return to Africa for the Lord's testimony. Amen. To me, this is mind-boggling, that Africans could be gained for the Lord in China. Amen. Talk about caring for someone who's not like you. Amen. Right? You know, if we are open to the Lord, you know, we're just cooperating with our chief shepherd to shepherd whomever he would bring to us. Amen. You know, honestly, previously, I had very little interest or heart for Africa. When there'd be reports about the Lord's move to Africa, to me it would be something very remote and far away. But now the saints are written on my heart. I've had a glimpse of what the Lord is doing on that continent with 54 countries. And I feel my heart has been enlarged. When we cooperate with the Lord to spread, to visit, to blend, whether it's here in LA, whether it's abroad, you know, our own concepts are shattered, right? The greatest hindrance to the body is ourself. And the leading part of ourself is our mind with all of its concepts. But when we go and blend, when we go and visit the saints, the Lord has a way of breaking our concepts. And then we become more corporate. We become more for the body, and our enjoyment of Christ is made more full.
Just to echo what Justin said, one of the brothers said just how the Lord visited Abraham, right, and came to him and had a meal with him in his tent. That's how the brothers in Africa felt our visit was to them. So I would like to share a testimony of four brothers that touched the Lord's recovery, touched the ministry on their university campus, and how the Lord really, through their enjoyment of the ministry that they received, and the same ministry that we're enjoying, really had their whole life turned upside down, and how they came into the church life in Addis Ababa. You know, these four dear ones, probably only 21, 22, and somehow they got a copy of a Watchman Nee book, while they're studying on the university campus. They had no idea there were other believers enjoying this ministry, right? And this is echoing how the church life in Addis Ababa began 13 years ago. Some believers in Addis Ababa got a hold of a Watchman Nee, a ministry book, and thought, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. And wow, I wish there were other people that were enjoying this ministry so that we can enjoy this together. So that was 13 years ago in Addis Ababa. Well, again, 5 years ago, these colleges, four college brothers, almost the exact same thing happened. They got a hold of a Watchman Nee book and said, there's no one else that's enjoying this, but we're going to enjoy this, and we're going to speak this, and we're going to share this. They went back to their Protestant denominations, and everybody rejected them. They said, don't come back here. Don't speak these things, right? The community, many of their families, just utterly said, don't speak these things, don't come back here. And they felt so hurt, so unloved, and felt that what were they to do? But the divine flame had already been ignited in them. Amen. Actually, these ones, even though they were persecuted, opposed, rejected, they just stood firm in their enjoyment of the Lord, and they were determined to continue to follow the Lord, to pursue the Lord. And so because they couldn't pursue the Lord in the ministry anywhere else, they wound up in the jungles of Ethiopia, where they read the life study materials next to the baboons. And because they couldn't speak the ministry or preach the gospel to anybody else, they would preach to the baboons. It sounds funny when you first listen to this story. And I think all of us, wow, preaching to the baboons. But you know what? In this is the spirit of the gospel, in the sense that they realize they have to overflow any way they can. The flame within them has to be continued to be cast throughout their country. Amen. And praise the Lord in a marvelous way put into their hands a copy of a ministry magazine that had been published, because other people have also started to oppose them and oppose the churches there. And so a publication had been written to say, no, you know, these are genuine ministry, genuine brothers. And so they got a hold of this, and they saw Living Stream Ministries' name on this. And it says, we know this is the same people that published the life studies we've been reading in the jungles. So through this way, they were connected to the church in Addis Ababa. And praise the Lord, 4 weeks ago, they joined the full-time training in Addis Ababa. And they told us, they are just four of many, many such groups in Ethiopia. All right? Many young believers are just hungry for the truth. Hungry for the ministry that opens the word, that causes them to love the Lord, to see God's eternal economy. And then we just got a text a couple days ago, a brother visiting Rwanda. Justin said there were some seekers there. You know, and one of the full-timers from, I believe he's in Texas, he went to visit a group of there. And now there are 25 college students, brand new, that were gathered after he visited there. And just the whole continent is ripe. Amen. The Lord, that's divine flame, is truly casting fire. Amen. Oh, so Lord Jesus, we just thank and praise the Lord for what he's doing in Africa. And may that same flame continue to be cast throughout where we are here in Los Angeles, amen, throughout the whole inhabited earth. Amen.
How about let's just take a couple of minutes with a few around us. Number one, just introduce yourself to the people around you. Hopefully you can meet them for the first time. And then also take a minute or two to either share something you enjoyed from the sharing this morning, or to testify of how you may have experienced this divine flame burning within you or burning in some that are around you, okay? So a couple of minutes just with a few sitting right around us. Introduce yourself, share anything you've enjoyed or anything of your testimony of enjoying the divine flame.
Saints, I'm so happy. I'm sorry for the high key. It's very enjoyable meeting today morning. And I can testify that I sensed the flow of life. You know, I think everyone here agree that we touched the fountain of life. Amen. Today morning, the messages and all the testimonies we hear is not about how to preach the gospel, or technique, or some good way to bring the people into church life. No. Amen. All the messages and all the speaking we enjoyed was the flow of life. And the main reason I'm becoming excited is because I have the same life. Amen. the life I received is body life. Amen. So when brothers mentioned about the spirit of gospel, I have the same spirit.
Amen.
So because I have the same spirit, I felt some rekindling and burning within because I have same body life.
Amen.
And when I heard about the matter of visitation, I was very touched. Why? Because all of us have the sinner visiting life.
Yeah.
Yeah, sinner visiting, detouring, loving care.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not about someone else.
Yeah.
The same life and same burden we have deep within.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So everyone enjoy this same burden, same body life, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we have same mingling life. Yeah. Regardless of location, one hour of traffic, we have desire to be being mingled.
Yeah,
desire to be blended.
Amen.
UCLA, CSUN, USC, English, Chinese, Spanish.
Amen.
We need to be blended.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even into Africa.
Amen.
So some brother mentioned that he didn't have any desire or interest on Africa. But because we have a body life, we have a desire to be being mingled.
Amen.
With the young people in Ethiopia.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So praise the Lord that bring us into this wonderful church life.
Amen.
And wonderful testimony of Jesus in Los Angeles.
Amen.
Well, dear saints, if you check your time right now, we are actually going to be ending in a few minutes, ending the meeting early. Not because that means we can leave early for lunch, but because we wanted to leave more time for us to contact one another. Of course, parents need to pick up their children, but aren't you just refreshed this morning? I feel so full, and as I look around, I wish you could all stand and look around and just see faces we haven't seen in a while, and we need to spend some time contacting one another. We need to do so with love, with intimacy. I got revived just listening to your brother's testimonies here. I was thinking you should change the name of your shop from Koala Tea to Coal Tea. You follow me? Because they're like burning coals. I think you're Koala Tea. Anyway, I hope you follow that. You're three burning coals. And, you know, we heard something from Ethiopia that was very inspiring. We heard about the college campuses, which is energizing. And then we've heard about daily life, whether work or in the classroom, and that is very ordinary. And probably most of us tomorrow will fight through LA traffic and go to our ordinary Mondays. And I hope that through this fellowship, we all have the feeling, wherever the Lord has placed us, we can be one with Him. To carry out this commission that He has given us and to spread this divine fire.
Amen.
And one thing I know for sure, there are many people outside this room that we need to visit, but wouldn't you agree if I asked you that everybody in this room, we need somebody to visit us? Right? If I asked a show of hands, would you like somebody to visit you? Look at all the people that need visiting. Look at all the people that need some checking in on, some prayer for. And I'm just going to close by re-speaking the four items that our brother mentioned. Four ways we can contact one another, right? We can contact one another by your phone.
Amen.
If you're afraid of eye contact, if you're a little averse to talking to somebody in person, send them a text, make a phone call. We need to care for one another in this way. Number two, we need to use the meetings, right? Not just being in the meetings is wonderful, but before and after the meetings, to take a few minutes to contact one person. That can make the meeting entirely different, right? As rich as this meeting has been, listen, saints, as awesome as this meeting has been, if when we conclude, each of us takes the time to talk to one person, this meeting will just be taken to another level. Amen. Not because of what happened in this meeting, but because of what happened after the meeting. Amen. Number three, we can carry out this work by getting out of our comfort zone and visiting one another. It may be, maybe they are sick. You know, I see a lot of these new moms outside with the strollers and their kids, and I think these new moms are thinking, they're missing out. You know what new moms need? New moms need a visit. You don't have to go and tell them how to take care of their kids. You just have to go and be with them, and they'd be refreshed. Amen. And the last thing we can do to participate in this visitation is that we can give. We can give financially. We can give to support those who are laboring on the campus. We had three brothers here who testified about going to Africa. Actually, there were four who went from L.A., but actually, I'd like to tell you, there were many more who went from L.A., because we didn't publicize this, but I'll say this now. Once we knew that this conference was going to be in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, we knew that many could not physically attend. So we asked all the brothers who normally attend these conferences to consider giving financially so that those in Africa could attend. So even though only four brothers apparently were able to go from L.A., I have good news for you. Actually, the whole church in L.A., we participated in that trip. Amen. We don't know the names of those who are able to go because of our giving. The Lord knows. But according to the Lord's estimation, our participation, that does not mean we're degrees removed. To give in this way is to directly participate in the Lord's move. So you may feel like you can't go to USC, UCLA, CSUN. By the way, I think we need a new acronym for those three campuses, right? It's the one campus in LA, including SMC and everywhere else, and including this campus. Okay, Brother Dick reported, the giving from the brothers helped over 400 from Africa to go to this conference. I don't know about you, but I feel very happy. I was stuck in an office the past 2 weeks. I couldn't get on a plane, but in a sense, I went. Amen. And all of us, dear brothers and sisters, we can go if we participate in the Lord's move in this way. Okay, I'm going to pause here, otherwise I'm going to keep going. So let me conclude here. I think we need to follow Brother Dick with three healthy hallelujahs. Okay, ready? Go. Hallelujah.